Good morning. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son emerged from the cave that they were there for 12 years, Chazuinshi de Kokarvi Vazari, he saw people, they were planting, they were taking care of their physical needs. Amar Menichin Chaye Oilam Voiskim Chaye Shah, they're forsaking Chaye Oilam Nitzchius, and they're busying themselves with Oilam Hazeh. So wherever they looked, immediately it was burnt, came burnt. A baskal came out and said, for this you don't need to come out of the cave, go back. The Gemara says they returned to the cave for another year. And then when they came out, they saw Balipani de Mali Shabso, they saw on an Erev Shabbos, Ben Ashmoshos, Chazua hu Saba Davi Nokit Tre Midani Asa Varohit Ben Ashmoshos. The person was holding two bundles of Hadassim and was running Erev Shabbos. Amrle Hani Lamaloch, why do you need these two bundles of Hadassim? Where are you running on Erev Shabbos? Amrle Hu Lukavit Shabbos. It's the Kavod Shabbos, and that's why I'm running, that's why I have my two bundles. V'tiski le'bechad, why do you need two bundles of Hadassim? One should be enough. So he said, chad k'neged zochor, v'chad k'neged shomer. One is k'neged zochor, one is k'neged shomer, that's why I need two. Amar le'i livrei, chazi, kama chazidim mitzvahs al Yisrael, yosef da'atayu. So Mishim v'ayuchoy said to his son, you see how what kind of chazivos, what kind of love Klal Yisrael has for mitzvahs. And that was their nechama. That was Yosef Datayu. They were, and they understood now Klal Yisrael's approach. Rav Nosson Gestetner explains that Rav Shimon bar Yochai's approach was Efshar Adam Zareya b'Shazriya Koytzer b'Shaz Ktsira Torah Matei Olel. If a person is so busy and caught up with Olam Hazeh, he'll have no time for Torah Mitzvah. He'll have no time for Ruchnius. When they came out of the cave and they saw this person running on Erev Shabbos, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is the makor of bracha for the entire week. But a yid knows that although during the week he's forced to work, he's forced to be oisik in olam hazeh, the shefa bracha of the week comes from Shabbos, comes from the ruchnius and the time he devotes to Torah mitzvahs. This person was running Ben Ashmoshes. Ben Ashmoshes, we know, is a mixture. It's partially day, partially night. And what he was showing was that he was trying, as he was running Ben Ashmoshes, he was trying as hard as he could to bring Shabbos into Chol, to bring it into the rest of the week. And he was holding Hadassim. Hadassim, we know, at the Matzoy Shabbos, we smell Besamim. Because that's something, it ever gashmi, that the neshama gets a nachas ruach from. So again, it's symbolizing the fact that he's trying to bring the Kedusha Shabbos in to the rest of the week. And then he explained he has two, one for keneged zachar, one keneged shomer. There's a loiz asay and there's an asay. There's a sur meiran, there's an asay toiv. And again, his point was that part of our mission and part of our tachlis is the sur meiran. Is for when a person is engaged and involved in Olam Hazeh throughout the week, to bring Shabbos into that week, to be Makadish his Gashmias. And that is why Yosef Datayu, Shimon bar Yochai then understood, there's another Mahalach HaChayim, it doesn't have to, it's not everyone is Mesugal, you know, Harbe Yosef, Lo Yosef Yadam, not everyone's Mesugal for to be Kulei Ruchni. But if a person brings the Ruchnias into his Gashmias, that was Yosef Datayu. So I think today, it's Lag BaOmer. Some of us apparently were zoicha to go to Meron, and to be zoicha, and we're Isaac in the Teres HaNister. But for us, the other mahalach is to sit and to learn the halachas of Chosh Mishpat, to learn the halachas that are needed to bring halacha into our day-to-day, our miskar, our commerce. And that is the other mahalach that Rav Shimon bar Yochai apparently approved of. So with that, we go back to the sugya of Mekav Tois. We learned that if a person buys an item, it's defective, he has the right to back out, he has the right to return the item. If he uses it after he notices the defect we spoke out 2 weeks ago, he will lose his rights. Now, in Hilchos Einah, we learned that there's a time frame. If you buy something and you were cheated, you have to act immediately. You have to go to a tagger, you have to go to a professional, find out what the price is, and then you can go back and get a refund and undo the deal, depending on the level of Einah. Mekach Toys has no such limit. You buy a shas, you start using it, daf yomi and brachos, and somewhere, middle of kodshim, you realize there are some pages missing. So it may be 7 years later. Still, if this is when you find the defect, you have every right to go back to the seller and tell him, you sold me defective goods, and therefore, take it back, and I want a full refund. Last week, Rabbi Bookman discussed what happens if you delayed and you caused a loss. That's a separate issue. But putting that aside, the claim of Mekach Toys has no statute of limitations. Whenever you notice the defect, you can make the claim. However, there is an interesting machlokes that some poskim say this only means you bought the Gemara, you started daf in brachos, and it took you 7 years to get to that page that was missing later on in the shas. However, what happens if you buy the shas and you realize pretty early on there's a problem here? You were looking something up and you saw that it was missing pages. But, not really know, what's the rush? You decided to wait. And you didn't go back, you waited a few months before you go back to the seller. So here there is a machloikis. Some places can say it makes no difference. There's no time limit. And whenever you come back, as long as you didn't use it, you'll have the right to claim Mekach Toys. Other places can argue and say that no. If you wait, if you delay, that shows mechila. Just like if you use the item, that shows your moichel and you lose your rights to claim Mekach Toys. If you delay a long period of time, there's no exact definition, but if you just delay, you don't do anything, at some point we're going to say, if you were quiet, it must be because you decided to be moichel, and you will lose your right to claim Mekach Toys. So while you don't have to race back to the store like you would have to do by Einah, but if you delay for an extended period of time, you're running the risk, it's a machlokes, and especially if you're coming to be mitzi, you'd have a very difficult time prevailing on a claim of Mekach Toys. Now, the normal case of Mekach Toys is a buyer comes back to the seller and says, you ripped me off, you sold me goods, there was something wrong with it, I want my money back. The Ramah, and it's coming from the Mordechai in Bav Metzia, Simen Reish Nun Ches, discusses the opposite case. A person went to a flea market and he bought a ring. Now this ring, it looked like a piece of costume jewelry, wasn't very valuable, paid a couple of dollars for it. And the seller was someone who he bought and sold junk, and he had bought this ring from a guy also for a couple of dollars. He was reselling it to another person. The fellow pays for the ring, he picks it up, and as he's walking away, he trips. The ring drops, it cracks open, and he sees that underneath this metal, it was solid gold. So the seller notices it, says, wait a second, I sold you this ring for $3. It's solid gold. It's a Mekach Toys. I would have never sold it to you had I known its true value. I want the ring back. So what is the halacha? So if you hear the Mordechai Paskins, he says, the seller will lose. Why? Because it's true. If you have a ring that's solid gold and you sell it thinking it's tinfoil, you'll have issues. You'll have issues of Einah. You'll have issues of Mekach Toys. That's certainly true. But in this case, where did the seller get the ring from? He bought it from this anonymous guy. When he bought the ring, how much did he pay for it? $2. Because he thought it was also made out of metal. So when he bought it originally, he had no das, he had no intention to be kind of the gold. He thought it was just being kind of a metal ring. And therefore, since he never had das kinyan in the first place, it was never his. And now, when he resold it to another person, he has no claim. This gold was never his. Now, what happened to kinyan chatzar? The halacha is, if you have something in your chatzar, in your possession, that chatur is kainah shalom midaita. Even if you don't realize something is there, if something falls into your rishus, it's yours, even if you don't know that it's there. So the Mordechai shall sue, it's machlokes rishayim. But many rishayim say that a chatur is only kainah something that you expect to come. You're going to see it, you're going to find it. So even though right now you're sleeping, since it's in your chatur, and it's something that you're going to find when you awaken, so it becomes yours immediately. However, Zuktaisis, in a case where it is possible you will never find these goods because it's hidden, it's covered by this ring. In another case, it's hidden inside a wall or inside a house in a place where it won't be found. Chatzar is not koinish lemidaita. And therefore, the Mordechai paskins, and it's brought down by the Ramah in Sif Yud Ches, that it never belonged to the seller, and therefore the buyer has no obligation to give it back.
But the Kenyan would not be what he thought it was. I mean, it's half the Kenyan, like he asked before. If you never did it, you now have to give it to the seller.
That's true. That's a good point. Perhaps it's not a sale. Which means, let me just take it a step further, perhaps we can turn the tables. Not only is the seller not able to force the buyer to give back the gold, perhaps the buyer can go back to the seller and say, I want my $3 back. Because this ring was never yours. That's true. So it belongs to that anonymous guy who there's no way to find that you'll be able to keep it. The buyer, the person who saw it. It's an Aveda. It didn't belong to anybody. Whoever saw it first and picks it up will keep it. Someone, you know, over Shabbos, someone told me a story. It seems it's been going around in Eretz Yisrael. Someone bought a fish. They gave it to, it was in Eretz Yisrael. They gave it, there was an Arab worker cleaning the fish. So they bought it. They paid for it. They handed the fish to the Arab who was going to fillet it, cut it up. And while he's cutting it, he opens it up. He sees a necklace. So who keeps the necklace? So the answer is the Arab. Because it didn't belong to the store owner. He never knew about it. It didn't belong to the buyer, even if he made a kinyan on the fish. Still, he had no das to be kind of this necklace that was inside. The moment it's cut up and the Arab worker sees it and grabs it, it would be his. So this is the Mordechai. Now the Levush, in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, and Abba Yitzhak Gershuni quotes this, takes this to a similar case, but a little bit more of a chiddush. And that is, there was nothing concealed. We're not talking about a ring now that was metal on the outside, gold on the inside. What happens if you go to the flea market, you buy a metal cup, and then you find out that this metal wasn't just plain, it wasn't just tin foil. It was silver. And it's worth much more. Zach Levush, the same halacha would apply. Since neither the buyer or seller knew about it, and if you have a metal piece, a metal cup in your house, it's very likely that you will never realize its true value. So in such a case, the halacha is the buyer would be able to keep it because it never belonged to the seller.
What does the buyer look like in the case of the picture? That's where it was not a poor picture. It turned out to be like a Michelangelo. So the buyer knows.
Excellent. So like this. So the Shevet Halevi has the following case. A person owed a friend $3. Now, the lender happened to have liked collecting old svarim. So the borrower said, you know, I have this old little manuscript in my house. It's old, it's scribbled on, it's not worth very much, but listen, I'll give it to you for $3. Now it may be worth less, it may be worth more, but let's just be Michael. Take it as satisfaction for the chayv. Fine, that's what they did. The lender takes this manuscript, and it was scribbled all over. Someone decided to write all of his comments and all of his hagoyis in the margins. But then, when the lender was looking through it, he sees the person who wrote the comments signed his name, and it was one of the Gedolei Hadar. Suddenly, this little manuscript that was scribbled up on is worth $10,000. So the question is, does he have to return it to the borrower? So we hear the Shevet Halevi says, L'chayra, this is our Mordechai. The borrower got this from someone else. He never realized its true value. So we should say it was never his, and therefore the lender can keep it. Look at Shevet Halevi, that's not true. Because it's one thing if a person buys a ring. It's metal on the outside. So if we find out later it's gold on the inside, so the Mordechai's chiddush is, you never knew about the gold, it never became yours, and therefore when you pass it on to the next person, he has no obligation to you. That's true when you didn't know there was gold on the inside. Levush extends this. If you know that it's metal, but you think it's one type of metal, it's tin, and then you find out it's silver, the same halacha would apply. In our case, it's very different. You knew what the sefer was. You knew that there were comments on it. You also saw the person's name. You didn't realize the value of this person's comments. So you knew exactly what it was, you didn't understand the value. Zok Shevet HaLevi, of course it's yours. If you buy something, you know exactly what you're buying, but you don't know its value. Is anyone to tell you it's not yours? Of course it's yours. You bought it, you knew what it was, it's yours. Now, when you sell it to the next person, if you sell it for $3 and it's worth $10,000, that is oino, that is, and you have your title to your money back. It's only when you didn't understand what you had, that you didn't have das to be koina, that is where this halacha will apply. Now, a couple of years ago, I was looking through a sefer, and the Hakdama, it had a hesped on a certain gadol. And it said over the following story. A younger man was in Eretz Yisrael on vacation. And he went into a svarim store in Mea Sharim. And this store has sold all different types of svarim. Used svarim, old svarim, everything under the sun. The fellow bought a sefer, he walked out. When he got back to his hotel, he started perusing through the sefer. He opens it up, and $100 falls out. Okay? Keeps on learning, you know. Learns a few more pages, another $100 bill falls out. And the kids of this keeps on going, and whatever the number was, $5,000 of cash was hidden in the safe. The younger man was a very erlich younger man. He went right back to the farm store and said, I want you to know, I just bought the safer. You probably didn't realize, but there was $5,000 of cash, and I'm giving it back to you. The owner was all impressed. He was in his ball, like, why are you doing this? So he said, I'm doing this because I'm a Talmud of Yana Gadol. I'll count the mice. Now, the next day I happened to have met the author, the Rav that wrote the story. And I went over to him with Tainus. What's going on? This yoga man may have been Erlich, but Luchayr, he's an Amoritz. We have a Mufurish and Mordechai. That if you buy a ring, and you think it's made out of metal, and you find gold on the inside, you have no obligation to give it back to the seller, because it was never his. This safer, the money in the safer, was clearly did not come from the store owner. No one hides cash in a safer that they have for sale in their own store. He must have bought it from someone else. So it didn't belong to him. Why are you giving it back to him? Now, to make matters worse, I would say it was Oster to give it back. Because where do you think this money came from? Probably what happened is, someone used to hide his cash in the svarim. He never told his children about it. And he was nifter. His kids had a whole library of old svarim. They had nothing to do with it. So they sold it to the svarim store who are now selling. If a person dies, his children are Yerush, whatever he has. They don't need any das. They don't have to know what their father owns. It becomes theirs automatically. So the moment the father passed away, the children are now Yerush the $5,000. Now it's lost. It's an Aveda. That's true. There probably is no Yerush because they didn't know about it. But now when you find the $5,000, you're probably a Shomer Aveda. If you're a Shomer Aveda and you give it to the wrong person, that's a Pshia. So the Chari, not only do you not have to give it to the store owner, it should be also. So the Rav, who's a Chashev HaTalmud Chacham, said, yeah, we spoke about it at the time in Yeshiva. He doesn't remember what the maskana was. A few years later, I heard a tape of a shir from this Rav. And he tells over the story again. And all he's telling over the story, I'm getting all worked up. Like, what happened? Zach does this wrong. Why are you repeating the story again? So then he continued that after the story happened, he said he got a letter from the Chabur in Lakewood. And they complained. They have the Mordechai. So he said that they held, no, What's the pshat in the Mordechai? Why doesn't it belong to this middle person? Ayitzin is chatzin. So we pointed out from Tosis that if it's something is hidden that you'll never find, the halacha is chatzin is not kain. Now the Nesivos in Reish Lamed Beis shells to the Lashon HaRambam. It says it's avuda mimenu mikolado. Just like if you own something and now you own something on a ship, the ship sinks. At that point, it's hefker, because it's gone. No one can save it. It's irretrievable. So if some nes happens and someone else grabs it, he can keep it. Zutu shel yom, avudu mimenu kol adam, becomes hefker. So he said, they held. The only time it becomes hefker, the only time you're not zoichin is something which it's not going to be found. There's gold hidden in a ring. Apiderech ateva, you're not going to find it. So in such a case, it becomes, it's like a tefker, and the buyer can keep it. Masha ein kein, if you have money in a sefer, so sooner or later, someone's going to start flipping through the pages and going to find the money. So according to the Nesivos, it's not zut shel yom, it's not avudim men mikol adam, and there they held chatzar would be kind. Now, that's true, there is a diuk in the Nesivos in Reish Lamed Beis. However, there is the levush that we mentioned, that even if it's silver and the parties just don't realize it, levush seems to be pretty clear. It's hard to say that if you have a cup made out of silver, just because the owner doesn't realize that it's silver, it's hard to call that avudu men mikol adam. It's certainly possible someone will see it and notice it and say, hey, this is silver, this is valuable. Furthermore, the Nesivos in Siman in Reish Samaches also sounds like he's choizer, and as long as it's not muchach, it will be, as long as it's a suffix, whether or not it will be found, we will not say chatzar is kaina. And therefore, I think according to most places, halacha would be that the buyer would end up keeping it. Now, there is an interesting raya, which actually this Rav brought, the Rabag, brings down that when the brothers came back to Yosef, and they were being taken to Yosef's palace, and they thought they were being taken because the money that they had paid for the food was returned, and they had found it in their sack of food. So they quickly went over and they told them that we want to confess. We had the money that we paid, we got back, and therefore we want to return it to you. So what did they answer? Vayoyimer shalom lochem al tiro. Elokechem elokei avichem nosan lochem matmaim ba'amtechoyseichem kasuchem bo'ayla. So they answered, they told the Shvatim, don't worry, the money is yours. Zakhtar Rabbah, why is the money yours? So he explains, it's ma'amashar halach. Yosef didn't grow the food. What happened is that all of the Mitzrayim grew the food, and they bring it to Parai, to the storage houses. Now, if someone brings a sack of food and there's money hidden inside, and then Yosef takes the sack and sells it to the next person, who owns that money? So the Rabag learns that Yosef is telling the brothers, this money belongs to you because of this Avodah Zarah. It was never mine, I didn't know about it, and therefore you have the right to keep it. Could be the Shvatim held the other way. Could be the Shvatim held it since it could be found. Now again, it's interesting because the Shvatim didn't know who Yosef was yet. So the Rabag is learning when they were taken today, they have a whole vikuach what Pshat and the Nesivos is. Yeah, so like this. So the truth is, this Shiloh really seems to be a halachim fereshes in Hilchos HaShavuos Aveda. If you buy something from a safsira, someone, a wholesaler, so then the halacha is, if it has no siman, you're allowed to keep it because of this halacha. The wholesaler was never koine it because they never knew about it. If there is a siman, you're chayv lahachris. If there is a siman, you have to try to find the original owner, again, presuming there was no yish. You can ask the wholesaler not to give it back to him, but just to try to figure out where it came from to be kind of the mitzvah shavas aveda. But if there's no siman, or if it's lach or yish for any reason, then the halacha is you can keep it. Well, if they know the amount that's there, there would be a siman. It depends. If you can't figure out, if there's no way to do a hashava. It may be you have a problem because it may not be you. But it has the regular gedorim of an aveda. And the point is, it will not belong to this middle person. Now the Shevet HaLevi has another interesting case. a person was going around collecting money. You handed him a $10 bill, and he gave you change, 9 singles. Now, it turns out one of the singles was a very old bill that was worth a lot. Do you have a chiv to go ahead and return that valuable bill to the collector? Zokta Shevet HaLevi, that's our sugya again. Since its value, the person never realized its true value, he never realized what it was, he thought it was a standard dollar bill, he didn't realize there was any difference, so he was never zeichen. And therefore, you can keep whatever it is. And this shaila actually comes up. Today, for some reason, the kids got into collecting coins, and some of them go through pushkas looking for old quarters or old dimes. And the question is, if you do find an old and valuable coin, can you keep it, or do you have to give that to tzedakah? But based on this Shevet HaLevi, the halacha is that since the tzedakah, or it was the person who got it, never realized its value, then there will be no chiyuv to get to return it. You saw it, but you didn't understand. You thought it was tin, and it was really gold. So if they saw what it was, and then they didn't recognize its true value, then you would have this halacha.
How is it different
than
the case of a man?
It depends on the case. If you understood it was different, but you just didn't know its true value. Now, do you know this was a silver certificate? But you didn't know what it was worth in an acham. It would be like a manuscript. But if to you this is just another quarter, another dime, you didn't understand there's anything different about it. And then it turns out that no, for some reason it's a different type and therefore it has more value, then the halacha would apply. Okay, let's move on and discuss a little bit what happens when there's a suffix about a mum. So let's go through a few different cases. A person bought a house. When he bought the house, he noticed that right next door there's another house with a big window looking over this property. Now, there's halacha in this keshchenim, how it applies today is a separate shmuz. But if there's a window and you want to build another window, a keneged, or you want to block the window by building a wall, the neighbor can stop you. He was there first, he had his window, he has a chazaka, and you can't interfere with his use. When the buyer realized that, he went back to the seller and claimed Mekach Tois. I bought this lot because I wanted to build a huge house. And now I realize because of this window that's overlooking the property, I can't use it for the normal use. So if you hear the Rajba says, nothing doing. You saw the window before. It was open. The fact that you're claiming you didn't understand the ramifications, the fact that you're claiming you didn't realize that stops you from using it is not the seller's problem. You bought a house that or a property that had a window next to it. That's what you bought. That's what you got. And there's no claim of mekach tois. So whenever you're buying something and there is an open defect with it, the buyer is not believed to say either I didn't notice it or I didn't realize the impact or the problem that it would have. So if you buy a car and then a week or two later you want to bring it back because you didn't notice there was a nice big dent in the back, you're not going to prevail. So then you would be nemar because you had no way of seeing it. The truth is, the Rishayim say that even if there's a defect in the house, if the seller can't prove that you went into the house, then the buyer is nemar to say that I never went in and I never saw it. Okay, so there is a separate halacha of what happens if you could have done an inspection and you don't. But that we're going to have to leave for another shir. So if it's an open mum, the halacha is, we assume you saw that and you assume there was a mechil. What happens if it's not an open mum? But the seller says that before I sold you this car, I showed you all the defects and you bought it at al piken. So he's claiming that you saw the mum and you're a mechil. So here, there seems to be some steers in the paiskin, but what it seems to come out is that if the seller is sure, he says, I showed it to you specifically and you accepted it, then the halacha is, although there may be a mum, the seller says, I told you about the mum, you bought it off al piken, I don't have to return the money. So if the buyer denies it, so whoever the mukhsik is will win. If he didn't pay yet, he will not have to pay. Because he's going to argue, you never disclosed it to me. There's a defect. I don't have to pay for defective merchandise. On the other hand, once he already paid, if he wants to try to recover money from the seller, he will not be able to because the seller is also a bari. I told you about it, you're Michael, you have no claim against me. What happens if the seller admits he never pointed it out? But he says, you had the goods. It was defective. Maybe you were Michael. Maybe. Can you prove you weren't Michael? How do you prove you weren't Michael? It's basically impossible. So can the seller say, I'm a muchzik, and until you prove you weren't Michael, I'm not giving you back the money. So here, most poskim are mashma that you can't. It's a taina geruwa, and more than that. Right now, it's true the seller is holding the money. But right now, we see the goods. They're defective. That means without any pirush rashi, without knowing what happened, our presumption would be that the sale was not a good sale. Because it's mekach tos. Now that the seller is saying maybe something changed, if the chazaka is that there's a mum b'foneinu, and there's a bitul mekach b'foneinu, so then the person just saying maybe is not going to be enough. And unless the seller can prove or say b'tayinu is bari that there was a mechila, he's going to have to accept the items back and he's going to have to give a full refund. But now this leads us to a stickier case, and this comes up in virtually every claim of mekach tos. The most recent story that we had was a person bought a car. When he bought the car, the check engine light was on. He went to a mechanic, and the mechanic told him it needs a new oxygen sensor. This is what it'll cost. The buyer went back to the seller. He negotiated, handled the price down a couple of dollars. He buys the car. Brings it to the mechanic. The mechanic replaces the oxygen sensor. 2 days later, the check engine light goes back on again. So, he went back to the mechanic, and the mechanic tells him it's the catalytic converter. What happened? It seems that when you have a problem with the oxygen sensor and you're running through the computer, it says the oxygen sensor is a problem. It stops checking them. And therefore, it could be there are another 10 other problems. You wouldn't know about it. So the buyer said, there's a mum, it's a mekach tos, I want my money back. The seller said, you know, it's true. If had the catalytic converter been a problem when I sold it to you, everything would have been the same. But maybe when I sold it to you, it was in perfect condition. And 2 days later, it died. How can you prove, how do we know where this defect happened? So this is a problem. We had this one case discussed in the Rishonim where you buy an animal, you find it's a treifa, you find a wound inside. So there the halacha is, if you bought it within 3 days, and there's a scab on the wound, there you can claim mekach tos. Because it takes more than 3 days for the scab to form, and it was there you only bought the thing 2 days ago. So obviously, this treifus was here before you bought it. There you have a proof, you'll get your money back. However, in the absence of proof, if it's a suffix when the defect occurred, the halacha is, we say, kan nimtza kan haya, and if it's only discovered when the buyer already has it, the halacha is, he's going to lose. The item had a cheskes haguf. Again, they're different pshatim, but it was the simplest pshat, there was a cheskes haguf. When the car was made, the catalytic converter worked perfectly. Today we know it's a problem, but we say if it was kan nimsa, if we discover the problem when the buyer already had it, kan haya. We have no right to go back and say it was a problem before when it still was by the seller. So in any case where we find a mum and there's a suffix, it's not clear when the mum happened, unless you can prove, unless experts will tell you that it was certainly there from a few days earlier, the halacha is the buyer is going to lose. Now, in many cases, especially when you're dealing with used cars, you'll buy a car and a few days later the transmission will die, the engine will die. So the seller very often will say, how do I know? You know, you drove the car for a few days or a few weeks. Maybe it broke while you had it. You caused the mum. So in these cases, you have to go to an act. Consult with mechanics and find out, is this the kind of defect that just boom, overnight, you know, one day it's perfect, the next day it's broken. If that's the case, the buyer is going to lose. However, if it's a type of thing where if the engine died today, that means it was 95% dead a week or two ago, and you just didn't realize it, in such a case, you'll have a claim of mechatos. But whenever there's a suffix, whenever it's unclear, al pi halacha, we're going to say kan nimtza kan haya, and the buyer will lose unless he can prove when the defect occurred. Fine, that's true. But if it's a type of failure that happens slowly, so that means that if you drive 100 miles and it dies, so then when you bought it 100 miles ago, it was 99% dead. That itself is a mechatois, even though the car worked fine. Masha'en kein, if it's a kind of defect that can just a failure that can just happen. It's old, it's worn. It can continue now for another 50,000 miles. It can continue for 50 miles. And your bad mazel is it just died now, then you'd be very hard pressed to make a claim of mechatois.
What about if somebody said that you should repair it and you should replace it after, like X amount of 1,000 miles, and this is after that time, so that even the manufacturer's kind of saying it's going to go before that time. So
it'll be a factor. It may indicate that this thing was just about dead. On the other hand, you knew the car had 70,000 miles on it, and you saw the belt hadn't been replaced. So to wake up afterwards and said that it's a mekach toys because hayos you're supposed to replace it at 50,000 miles and you didn't, it's a toys, is a pretty weak argument if you knew that you were getting a car that was not maintained the way it was supposed to be. But it's a factor. I mean, if you can prove that if it died today, then a week ago it must have been about to die, then that you will be able to claim mekach toys. Okay, let's stop here for now.